Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans, and we're here to get you ready before first pitch.
We'll have today's starting lineups, and we'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper.
Now, it's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
What's good, Milwaukee? Brewers and Mets getting set for Game 2 from Miller Park. And it's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show getting you set for Game 2. Brewers and Mets, hi, I'm Bill Schmidt, in with you for the next hour. About an hour and 9 minutes away from first pitch, Zach Davies going to take the bump for the crew. He's 3-2 on the year with a 5.6 ERA. Pitched a lot better as of late, a career 2-0 mark and a 3-1 ERA against the Mets. But before we do that, let's get you a recap of what happened in last night's game. And the Brewers got on the board early in first in the second inning. Jet Bandy started off the scoring.
Here's Jet Bandy getting into one. This is heading to the gap in left center field. And that's extra bases. Santana around third. They're waving him around. And he will score. The Brewers are first on the board here in the second inning.
The Bandy man getting another RBI, and then the next inning later, Hernan Perez filling in for the injured and now DL'd Ryan Braun in left field.
Run on two hits for the Brewers. They left the bases loaded in the second. They did score, but Harvey got a strikeout of Eric Thames, and now Perez sends one deep in the right field. Jay Bruce looks up. It's gone. Hernan Perez goes opposite field. It's a 2-0 lead for the crew.
So there it was after three innings, Brewers up 2-0, and in the fourth inning, Matt Garza made one of his lone mistakes on the day to Neil Walker, and he gave up a solo shot, 2-1 the score. Stay that way to the top of the sixth inning when Neil Walker once again would drive in a run, scoring Adrubal Cabrera, a single into shallow right center, and once again, Garza was in some trouble there with first and second, and one out, was able to get out of the jam. And then the Brewers gave him some offense in the sixth inning, started out with the man that was recalled from AAA Colorado Springs, Eric Sogard.
Do not stray too far from the bases with these Brewers catchers.
Boy, that's for sure. Jay Bruce, the latest to learn the consequences. And there's a drive, deep right field. Welcome back to the show, Eric Sogard.
That was an absolute moonshot from Eric Sogard. A small guy, about 5'11", comes in here and sends one deep into the bleachers and right. He was filling in, or got the start, his first day up from Colorado Springs, and gets the start for Orlando Arcia. I was definitely a little surprised to see him in the starting lineup. I think Orlando Arcia was a little bit too, because he was then pinch hitting for Matt Garza the next appearance.
And the long ball continues to be an issue here early in the season for Matt Harvey. We mentioned he gave up 8 all of last year, and what was a tough year for him. So that was 8 homers in 92 and a third innings. He has already allowed 9 this season. And Arcia sends one deep to right center field.
Yeah, he was not about to let his starting spot get taken over from Eric Sogard. Sending one deep, Orlando Arcia goes back-to-back with Eric Sogard. So the Brewers at that point up 5-2. Then a little bit of a base-running positive for the Brewers. And Jonathan Villar capitalizing on a mistake from the Mets.
Perez doing a lot of dancing around out there at first. Villar, the runner at third, payoff pitch. Perez running. Pitch swung out and missed. They had Perez hung up. But coming in to score is Villar. And now the tag made on Perez.
That run counts.
Yes, sir. As they'll give up that third out. But Villar scores before the tag is applied. So it turns into a four-run inning.
A four-run inning for the Brewers. Put them up 6-2. That situation looked a little bit like a planned hit and run. And a great idea by Hernán Pérez. It appeared that he would have been thrown out. He was did not obviously get a good jump on a hit and run. Travis Shaw swings and misses, strikes out, two outs in the inning. Pérez stops halfway between first and second with VR standing at third base. Heads up baseball. Heads up baseball to be able to get yourself another run and continue to give yourself some insurance, which ultimately would prove somewhat necessary as the Brewers would give up some runs in the ninth inning, but would tack on one more insurance run as the Bandy man sent one long.
Low pitch, Bandy swings, fly ball, deep left field, and that is out of here. Jet Bandy goes deep, and it's a 7-2 game.
There it was. It was 7-2 at that point, and Jacob Barnes comes in the ninth inning. Like I said, gave up a couple of runs, and at one point, the Mets had the tying run on the on-deck circle, but Jared Hughes comes in with one out in the ninth inning, gets a couple of lockdown outs on just 10 pitches, gets out of the jam, and gets his first save of 2017. So now we turn the page to today's game. We look at the starting pitcher, Zach Davies, opposite Robert Gsellman. Gsellman comes in 2-2 with a 6.5 ERA. Davies, 3-2 with a 5.6 ERA. Let's get the defense behind him.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show on The Fan.
Who's batting first? Here's today's look around the diamond with the starting lineups.
First, for the visiting New York Metropolitans. I don't know if anybody calls them that anymore, but I think more people should, as they sit 16-18. Leading off and playing in left field for the Mets going to be Michael Conforto. He's followed by Asdrubal Cabrera, the shortstop. In right field, batting third, former Red Jay Bruce. Batting cleanup and playing second base for the Mets, Neil Walker. TJ Rivera bats fifth and plays the hot corner. Curtis Granderson, the center fielder, he will bat sixth, hitting just a lonely 143 early in 2017. Lucas Duda, fresh off the DL, plays first base and bats seventh. Kevin Plawecki, catcher, he's batting just 083 is Kevin Plawecki. After a scary incident where he got injured in spring training, Plawecki back in the lineup and followed by Robert Gsellman for the Mets. And for the Brewers, coming in at 19-17, managed by Craig Counsell, leading off. And at second base, Jonathan Villar, followed by the first baseman batting second, Eric Thames. Taking over Ryan Braun's customary three-hole position in left field position, Hernán Pérez, followed by the cleanup man and third baseman, Travis Shaw. Domingo Santana bats fifth and hits in right field. Jet Bandy one more time behind the plate. He's got his average all the way up to 294 with five home runs. Bandy catches and bats sixth. Keon Broxton, the man who's going to have a Jedi Star Wars bobblehead. You'll hear more on that when we go inside the clubhouse with Bart Winkler. Broxton bats seventh and plays in center. Shortstop Orlando Arcia hits eighth, followed up by Zach Davies. Those lineups one more time for you for the Mets. Reads Conforto, Cabrera, Bruce, Walker, Rivera, Granderson, Duda, Plawecki, and Gsellman. And for the crew, VR, Thames, Perez, Shaw, Santana, Bandy, Broxton, Arcia, and Davies. Now let's hear from Skip.
This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. What's Craig Counsell have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's Scoop from the Skipper on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
He's not going to pitch today. I'll tell you. I'm being very generous with you guys.
Oh, no, that's shocking. Today. Yeah. That's the occasion.
I'm not sure.
Bar Winkler down at Miller Park, and maybe the biggest news, no Corey Knebel tonight. Corey Knebel will not be available to close, getting another night off from Craig Counsell as he's still reeling from the Thursday appearance where he threw 41 pitches in that eighth inning.
It was just an inning where, it was a tough inning, obviously, and it was, and he strikes guys out and they foul balls and there's obviously the bases got loaded, so I think it was about a 34 pitch inning or something like that, which is to give up no runs in a 34 pitch inning is pretty hard to do.
Yeah, he said when he walked off the field, he almost blacked out. He doesn't remember like pumping his fist and like getting all of.
Yeah, that was as excited as I've seen him. He was excited.
He has no recollection of that.
He was fired up.
It remains to be seen who they'll need from the bullpen. Starter Zach Davies going tonight. Craig hoping for a big night out of his young pitcher.
I think Zach's getting closer to where he wants to be. I think there's still another step to go. And I mean, I'm a broken record whenever I talk about Zach, but it's fastball command. He's getting there, I think. And he's getting there. And so, you know, it's a real feel thing for him. And when he's good at it, he's really good at it and one of the best in the game at it. But it's also something that he needs. And it's something that it's critically important to his success, getting ahead in the count. I think, if you'd ask him, there's one thing that he wants. It's, you know, a little more consistency getting ahead in the count. I think it's a key thing for him to bring all four pitches kind of into the mix for him as the count moves on.
No Ryan Braun, obviously, in the lineup on the 10-day DL. So Hernan Perez back in left field. Perez has been a key contributor for the last couple of seasons for this team.
He looks very natural in the outfield. He's just a baseball player. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense, but it's he's a really good baseball player. I don't think he's a... You know, he's not the athlete that some guys we have are, but his anticipation for what's going to happen in the game is very high. I feel like he's able to kind of see the game happening ahead of time a little bit. And he uses that to his advantage. It's instincts. You know, he's got very good instincts, and it helps him. Everywhere on the field, he's able to kind of diagnose situations and what's going to happen, what play he might have to make. And it's pretty good stuff. I mean, there's not many guys doing what he's doing. He's played six positions. He started, you know, when you start at shortstop and center field, that's very rare. There's probably less than five guys that have done that this year. Then you start adding on the ability to hit home runs, in addition to play shortstop and center field. We're starting to check a lot of the boxes that can do everything. He stole 34 bases last year. There's a lot he can do. I mean, there's a lot he can do.
Now, not in the lineup tonight is Eric Sogard. Sogard came up yesterday, played shortstop, had that big home run last night. He'll have the night off. But a big moment for Eric Sogard to boost this team with one of four home runs yesterday. And he did it after a season where he was out of baseball all of last year with an injury.
I mean, I think pitchers probably deal with it more than the position players, for sure. With the Tommy John, you know, surgery that's, you know, a year to 18 months. But, I mean, I think it's a mental challenge, obviously. A monotonous, probably kind of your job becomes monotonous because you're doing rehab and it's in the same room in the same small space every day, so it's not what you're used to doing, so it's a mental challenge, but I think it's something that certainly a guy like Eric is up to, and there's a lot of patience involved in it for sure, but it's, you know, it's your job too. And so, you know, that that's part of your job and part of, you know, something that can happen doing this job.
To be a guy dealing with an injury is tough. You're on the DL. You're away from your team. But a whole year out, Craig knows as a former player, that can be even tougher.
You know, when players get injured, they naturally feel – you automatically feel like you go to an island. It's just that's just what you feel like. And it's hard to explain, really. But because, you know, you feel like you're supposed to be out on the field, and when you can't be out on the field, you feel like you're somehow, not doing your job, really, is what you feel like. So that's part of the mental challenge of it, is to, you know, when you're sitting out that long, is that it's, don't feel sorry for yourself, keep going with the work. And it's, you know, it's a challenge a lot of guys face, the trainers, you know, all across baseball, a big part of their job is obviously the physical diagnosing and treating stuff, but they also help out from a mental standpoint of motivating those guys to doing that work every single day and keeping them, you know, in a good place, you know, with their heads when they're in that spot.
We'll hear more from Eric Sogard on tomorrow's On Deck show. We'll hear from Eric Sogard on tomorrow's On Deck Show. We'll hear more from Craig Counsell tonight on the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show. Reporting from the Miller Park dugout, I'm Bart Winkler for Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Thanks, Bart, and always good to catch up with what Craig Counsell has to say. We're going to talk to two other mainstays on The Fan. See Sparky Pfeiffer, the Wendy's Big Show 2 to 6 here on The Fan, and Joe Zenzola, Radio Joe, going to stop by on the round table as well. It's all coming up next here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the round table, brought to you by McCormick Law Office, Wisconsin's neck and back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on The Fan.
49 minutes away from first pitch at Miller Park, Brewers and Mets. We'll let you know exactly what the weather report is going to be, but you can look outside and it's gorgeous. So if the roof is not open, I'm going to be upset. And we're going to talk about it later on tonight on the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show right here on The Fan. But without further ado, let's bring on two guys on The Fan weekdays. First, you hear him 2 to 6 on the Wendy's Big Show. He is Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Stevie, how are we doing?
Doing good, man. My phone's at 6%, so let's see if we can get through this without it dying on me.
Cool. Let's speed through it. Radio Joe Zenzola on the other line. Joe, how we looking?
I'm looking great. How are you looking?
Oh, I'm always looking good, but you know that I'm one of the better-looking guys on this station. So, Joe, I'm going to start with you right now. Zach Davies coming in pitching much better as of late, and he's got a 2-0 record against the Mets career with a 3-1 ERA. Is Zach Davies starting to blossom into what we expected him to early on in the season?
Well, I mean, look, he had a great season last year. I mean, he really did. I think considering how he's been able to come along as a starting pitcher, and, you know, for the fact that he's so undersized, and, you know, he's had to make so many different, you know, changes and be able to find four different pitches in his arsenal to make himself so successful. And why he was able to be as good as he was last season. I mean, remember, he wasn't even on the opening day roster last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, you know, he's gone off to a slow start, has pitched a little bit better. The one issue I had with Zach Davies is he needs to get his innings up a little bit. I mean, he's been getting about 5 innings and that's it. His pitch count gets way too high. And I think that's something he's going to have to work on a little bit, because this is a guy that needs to get just at least 6 innings. And it's really one of the complaints I have in general with this starting rotation is you gotta eat up some innings. You just do. You cannot constantly go to your bullpen mm-hmm. and try to salvage games. I mean, as good as the offense has been, this pitching staff needs to get better. And Zach Davies is pitching better. I just want him. Give me 6 innings. Give me 6. Maybe give me 7 innings. I'm good with that.
It'd be really nice to see tonight, as we heard there with Craig Counsell and Bart Winkler down at Miller Park, Sparky saying that Corey Knebel not available tonight. Looking at the starting rotation, as Joe alluded to, the innings down across the rotation, except for the guy that pitched last night. Matt Garza has been really, really good since coming off the DL. Hence, it's only 4 starts. Maybe we put our foot on the brake a little bit. But a guy that everyone was expecting to kind of be the weak link in the rotation, has Matt Garza proven to be the best starter in this rotation?
Sure. Be on the phones. Try to move him today. I mean, don't wait much longer. Just call everybody. Hey, Garza's rolling. You may want him for your rotation. All you guys with injury problems like the Mets. Hey, why don't we just swap him over to you? You can take him back to New York with you. Man, I'm serious. I'm not waiting to find out if he's going to implode on the Brewers. While he's pitching well, see if you can move him. And I know trades don't happen this early in the baseball season normally. But the Brewers just traded Nick Noonan, what was it, yesterday, minor leaguer.
Mm-hmm.
Why not see if you can move Matt Garza, too? He's pitched really well. It's fine to have a complaint with Garza at this point. And as long as he continues to do this, his trade value should just keep going up as we get closer to the deadline.
Sparky, I'm going to keep it right here with you. As Joe called the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show last night, and we had a conversation about Corey Knebel. Like we just said, he's not available today. You got the foot on the gas on the trades, wanting to see if we can manufacture more prospects here. Corey Knebel, an interesting idea, though. He is under club control for 5 more years. Is he a bit untouchable in this situation, or do you have to get blown away to be trading Corey Knebel?
I don't got to get blown away. Make me a good offer. Go on. I don't got to be blown away for much anything right now, I'll be honest with you. Arcia, yeah, you're going to have to come with something pretty solid for Arcia. But even then, they've got a lot of shortstop prospects right now in the minor league system. We just had David Stearns on this week on the big show, and Ronnie asked him, is there anybody untouchable? Do you have untouchables? And he said, no. He goes, I think that's crazy to have untouchables. He goes, now, there are guys within the organization that I have a hard time seeing on another team, yes. But I'm always going to take offers. I'm always going to listen to what people are offering. I'm never going to say, no, nope, not going to listen to what you have to say. I'm not trading him under any circumstances. I mean, that's how you have to be. And Corey Knebel is not proven to be a closer yet. Right now, Corey Knebel is proven to be a setup man. That's much different than being a closer. So let's see what he does as a closer for a year or two before we deem him the savior at the closing position. I'm not even remotely close to doing that at this point.
It's the roundtable here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show and on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We have Steve Sparky Pfeiffer of the Wendy's Big Show and Radio Joe Zenzola, executive producer of the Bill Michaels Show. And Joe, you asked Craig Counsell, I believe it was earlier in the week when you were down there at Miller Park, has Corey Knebel taken that next step as a reliever? Could you kind of expand on what you were hinting towards there as kind of that next step that he could be taking?
Well, I mean, you remember with Corey Knebel when he was coming out of the minor leagues. You know, this guy had the potential of being a future closer, and it was just the question of could he piece everything together. And, you know, we've seen Corey Knebel now up with the Brewers for the last couple of years, and he hasn't really been able to pitch entire seasons up at the, you know, up at the big leagues. You know, what was it, last year, you know, he pitched for a couple months, then he got sent down, then he came right back up again, and he's had some inconsistencies, but you've seen the potential. You see what his fastball can do. You see what his curveball can do. And then this year, it's like all of a sudden, everything is just working. I mean, the guy is just rolling. And it started in spring training. He really made a loud statement in spring training. In every appearance that he was getting the opportunity to pitch in, he was just lights out. And then that carried over into this season, and he's been almost unstoppable. I mean, that one stat about how he's the only reliever in Major League Baseball right now to have at least one strikeout in every appearance he's pitched in, I mean, that's pretty incredible. And the fastball has been amazing. I mean, he's been able to clock it at 96, 97, 98 miles an hour, and the curveball has just been, I mean, it's been spot on. And those are his two signature pitches. And when we're talking about Corey Knebel being that, you know, that potential future closer for the Brewers, I mean, it can happen right now. Now, Craig Counsell, again, has not said that Corey Knebel is the closer. He wants to try out some different things, and he wants to look at different opportunities. But Corey Knebel has taken that next step. He's definitely closer material. It's just a question of, you know, is Natale Feliz ever going to figure it out? Because I think Counsell wants to get Feliz back into that closer situation. He says he's going to put him in some other situations, you know, maybe sixth inning, maybe seventh inning, maybe eighth inning, just to try to get his confidence back. But Corey Knebel right now is in the driver's seat. I think he is the best reliever right now bullpen.
So. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, somebody, we just had Ken Sanders on the roundtable yesterday during the Same on Deck show. And I missed it, unfortunately, but I know he was on because Rami got him on while we were doing the big show. And I would really like to know from Sanders, a guy that's closed before, what is the difference from the eighth inning in a tight game to the ninth inning in a closing situation? Is there a difference? Mm-hmm. If so, are there guys that are better off suited for the eighth inning that when the lights go on in the ninth, they're not the same pitcher? That's what I would like to know. Because my only beef with Knebel to this point is we haven't seen him do it in the ninth. So I'm not going to sit here and get all excited until I see him actually start closing games. And I just have to think that there's a different level that happens when you get out there in the ninth inning versus the eighth inning. I could be wrong. I've never done it. But that would be one question that I would have. But Joe's right on everything else he said. It's just, I'm just future closer, 5 years. I mean, I'm not there yet after a month and a half.
Guys, and it's an interesting conversation to have because Craig Counsell also brought it up when he made the announcement that Knebel was going to be the theoretical closer for this team, that he is still going to pitch in situations where, you know, Craig Counsell sees the game is on the line. And I equate it to what the Indians were doing last year with Andrew Miller. He was clearly their best relief pitcher, but he was used whenever the game was on the line. Do you see that as more important, Sparky, for a...
You can't compare him to Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller had been a closer. He'd been in that role, right,
mm-hmm.
before he got to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Knebel had never been in that position. I mean, one was a veteran that had closed games,
right,
knew what it was like in that situation. The other has never been in that situation.
Right, but is it more important for you as a manager to necessarily lock who you believe is your best guy in the bullpen just to that ninth inning?
Yes, for me it is.
Okay.
It is, no question.
Joe?
Because I don't believe in closer by committee. I just don't. I never have. I don't think it's a good idea. I like setting roles and guys knowing when they're going to come in. I like having a guy that knows he's going to pitch in the seventh inning in a tight game or a lead. I like a guy like Knebel to know I'm pitching in the eighth in a tight game or a lead. And then Feliz comes in the ninth inning, if he were to say to still be the closer, in that same situation. I don't like the guessing games of when guys are coming in. I don't think it benefits them.
Joe?
No, and I completely agree with Sparky. I think you have to know your role. If you're going to be the seventh-inning guy, you're the seventh-inning guy. You're the eighth-inning guy. You're the setup guy. You're the setup guy. Same thing with closer. It's just it's all about consistency, and it's all about continuity. And I think for someone like Corey Knebel, for example, I mean, you have to decide at some point whether or not you want to keep him in that eighth-inning role going forward or convert him over the closer and say, sorry, Feliz, you've lost your job. That's it. This is Corey Knebel's job to lose now. But, I mean, I would prefer is just one guy sticks where he is and not go by this closer-by-committee mentality that Craig Counsell goes by. I mean, it's different. It's thinking outside of the box. And I know Craig Counsell wants to be that kind of manager that likes to think outside of the box. But sometimes you have to have guys, if they're familiar with what they've been able to do, then keep them in that role. I think that makes the most sense.
And Joe is familiar with being the producer of the Bill Michaels Show. You hear him 10 to 2 right here on The Fan. Joe, go enjoy the rest of your Saturday, all right?
It's a beautiful day, and I will be enjoying it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. And Sparky, what do we got on the phone percentage count?
Let's see. It's really dark. I've only lost 1%.
Nice.
So
awesome.
5% right now, which is always a good thing. Baby Talish is down. Excellent doing the show, buddy. Keep it up.
Thanks, buddy. Take it easy, Sparky.
Hey, hold on.
What's going on?
One very important thing. Is your mom going to make it to your graduation tomorrow? Because I know running edible arrangements at Bayshore, she's really busy delivering Mother's Day edible arrangements.
She is actually going to be getting to the store around 3 in the morning tomorrow to be getting all her work done so that she can make the 10 o'clock ceremony out in Waukesha.
So everything from there is going to be delivered on Mother's Day?
Yep. They got about close to 200 orders to fulfill for tomorrow. They had about 150 the last 2 days, each of the last 2 days.
That's a lot of fruit.
Well, you know what? That's why they bring in the relief pitching like me to help out on these great holidays.
Don't ever text me another creepy picture like you did the other day.
Sparky, go enjoy the rest of your Saturday, man. Say hi to the kids for me.
See you, baby. Tough.
Take it easy. Both of them join me on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
When you're ready to get into or back into the housing market, look no further than Great Midwest Bank. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to take the next step towards your new home.
And as we look at what the weather is going to be, we look at the field and game conditions for the Milwaukee Brewers and New York Mets.
Will today's weather affect the game? Let's get today's field and game conditions. Brought to you by your neighborhood Ace Hardware stores. Locally owned with everything you need to get ready for the big game. Starting with help. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. On The Fan.
Yes, it is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. And the field and game conditions for today. 75 and sun in the city of Milwaukee. Anthony, that brings up a great country song that I listen to.
Yeah.
Sunny in 75.
Joe Nichols.
It puts me in a great mood.
It's a
always
good
does.
Song.
It was sunny in 75. I'm pretty sure Joe Nichols performed at Miller Park last night after the game. Tonight, a laser light show after the game.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like something that I'd be interested in.
Star Wars themed.
And also,
laser light show.
Also, a Keon Broxton Jedi bobblehead going to be handed out at the gates today. And our own Bart Winkler, you hear him 6 to 10 on The Fan on Chuck and Winkler. Caught up with Keon Broxton inside the Brewers clubhouse. We hear that next here on The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Good food, good drinks, good people, and great fun. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, and we're about to go inside the clubhouse first, Coach's Pub and Grill. You get roasted chicken there. Oh, it is just phenomenal. It just comes out piping hot. The breading is just tremendous. And now I'm going to get myself all hungry while I listen to our own Bart Winkler standing by with the man who's, you're going to see a bobblehead of him. I wonder if he's going to have a lightsaber in this bobblehead. It's supposed to be a Jedi bobblehead.
Yeah.
Anthony, are you a Star Wars guy? Can you answer that for me?
No.
No? Well, if he doesn't,
I don't dislike him.
If he doesn't have a lightsaber, then is he even a part of Star Wars?
I'll expect that. I'll be impressed if he goes to bat with a lightsaber.
Because I was going
to
say, you are the resident nerd on the fan, right?
That's true. We got in a big argument about it. Yeah.
Self-proclaimed. All right.
Big Twitter feud over that.
One other guy that might reach into that relative fan nerd is Bart Winkler, and Bart Winkler's standing by at Miller Park. Bart!
Bart Winkler down here with Keon Broxton. It's a big night for you, I guess, as far as the fans go. There is a Star Wars bobblehead with your namesake on it. Are you a Star Wars guy?
No, I actually had this question earlier today. No, I'm not a Star Wars guy, but I think I'm going to have to check it out now since I'm supposedly a Jedi.
Okay, so how does this happen? How do they decide that you are going to be the representative for the Star Wars night when you don't know much about Star Wars?
I have no idea. I guess it's just something that they came up with amongst themselves and figured out I was going to be a Jedi, so they just put me as a Jedi.
Do they come and tell you before when they're in the process that you're going to be a Jedi? Do they tell you after, or do you find out when you're running out to center field and you see an advertisement for it? I mean, how do they come to you with this?
I just found out afterwards, after they had already came up with it and came up with the whole process and everything like that. So they told me afterwards, and they just asked me if it was okay. I was like, yeah, sure, I don't mind.
It's cool on one hand because there's a night that is a giveaway for you. Have you had that ever at any level? A bobblehead or anything like that?
No, not a bobblehead or anything for that matter. Now I think about it, so this is awesome, man. I'm all about it, all for it. So I'm excited. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
I don't see one in your locker. Do they give you one?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely getting at least 15 of them for sure. But I haven't gotten them yet. I have seen them, but I just haven't got it yet. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna get a couple.
Star Wars night. There's a Keon Broxton Jedi. At some point, you'll watch. I've never seen him either. So there's a lot of people going to be here tonight that are going to go crazy for it, which is cool. As far as you specifically, feeling good? Everything doing all right with you?
Yeah. Everything's going good, man. Body's feeling good. Mentally feeling good. The team's playing well. So it's don't have anything to complain about right now.
Last year, you kind of went through a thing where you changed your grip a little bit. And now this year, you've made adjustments with the plate. Do you feel comfortable more maybe than you've ever been?
Yeah, I think I was feeling a little bit more comfortable last year just because of my whole foundation and my swing and everything. But this year, it's getting back to that, and it's still a process. But I definitely feel very comfortable where I am right now. And as long as I stay mentally strong, I'll be fine no matter what.
How are you able to go through that when you want to make corrections? Is it sitting down with a coach? Is it just you with the video? Or who kind of helps you the most when you're doing that?
Well, all of our coaches here are open to everything that we're doing and everything that we want to do. They're here to help us get better, and they're not going to lead us in a direction that we don't want to go. So it's just all about how we feel, and we bring it up to them, and if they like it, then they'll try it out, and if we like it, then we just keep with it.
Bart Winkler here with Keon Broxton. As far as the team overall, I mean, you guys are a couple games over 500 now. It's more competitive in the standings, at least. Is there a different feel at all from any time last year to how you guys are playing right now?
Yeah, there's definitely more feel. I think we're all out here expecting to win every time we show up to the ballpark, so that's a big thing. I don't think we have losing in our mind, in our mindset, so we prepare to win, prepare to go out there and play hard.
You're almost one of the elder statesmen on this club right now, just with all the turnover. There's, you know, a guy like Sogard comes up last night. Guys like Drake, they come up. You're kind of, are you able to help these guys along too and just acclimate them to the city?
Yeah, as far as like the city and stuff goes, yeah, if they want to talk to me about, you know, the city or anything like that, I still don't know too much about the city myself, but I could definitely show them some restaurants and some little spots to hang out in and stuff.
Keon, congrats on the bobblehead.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
How about stuff going on outside of Milwaukee, like the rest of baseball? Let's get the big picture on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
25 minutes away from first pitch at Miller Park. Roof going to be open. It's just a gorgeous night for baseball. Anthony, I wish we were out there. I mean, we have at least 7 or 8 brews in me at this point.
But, only 8.
Yeah, you know, I try to pace myself when I go to baseball games because I want to enjoy the ambiance, right?
Sure.
I wonder if everyone else is enjoying the ambiance. Where I thought they were going to be enjoying the ambiance tonight was at Yankee Stadium. One of my favorite baseball players of all time, Derek Jeter, was supposed to get his number retired today. Game was postponed. Are you kidding? Roll the tarp out and let Derek Jeter get out there and say goodbye to the Yankee fans. One of the greatest of all time. So the Yankees and Astros rained out. Let's take a look around the scoreboard in the majors. Cubs and Cardinals right now. Cubs in the bottom of the 8th inning, trailing at St. Louis 5-3. The only other game going on right now, a 4-1 lead for the Twins over the Indians. Games already wrapped up today. The Boston Red Sox, 6-3 winners over the Rays. And the Blue Jays get a 7-2 victory over the Mariners, along with a 3-1 victory for the Giants over the Reds. All other action later on tonight. Take a quick break, come back, get a look down on the farm, and also take a look at who's hot, who's not. I got an idea that our Jedi boy is going to be in that who's hot category. Keon Broxton might find himself there. Coming up next, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show on The Fan.
Some of the Brewers are hot, while some are not. Who's hot, who's not? Brought to you by AJ Collectibles, the area's most complete lineup of sports cards, memorabilia, and bobbleheads. 7201 West National Avenue. Just minutes from Miller Park, this is the only station Brewers fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Eighteen minutes away from first pitch, Brewers and Metropolitans at Miller Park. The New York Metropolitans coming in at 16-18. And who's not hot for the Mets? I don't know if you would put Matt Harvey in the not category. Because the video that I saw, he was pretty hot at that point. He was pretty upset with the guy that was trying to take a video of him while he was out partying until about 4 in the morning and then missing the game the next day. Matt Harvey, the losing pitcher in last night's game. Brewers trying to give Goosell a similar fate today as the Brewers look to win the series. In the hot category for the Milwaukee Brewers, let's look at our Jedi, Keon Broxton. Been tearing the ball up in the month of May, hitting 412, 14 for 34. He's scored 8 runs, got 4 doubles, a triple, and 2 bombs. Also knocked in 6 runs as well. I'm also going to put my man Eric Sogard in the hot category. One, because he's batting 1,000. If the guy keeps up this pace, he just might win the batting title. But also, one other reason why Eric Sogard is in the hot category, he's bringing back the fighting necklaces. And Anthony, those were awesome back in the day. You know, as a 90s kid. The fighting necklaces, if you didn't have one of those, you were lame. Sure. So Eric Sogard in the hot category as well. Let's look at the not category, and it's going to be the two guys behind the dish for the crew in the month of May. Jet Bandy, the Bandy man, hitting just .211 in the month of May with 2 extra base hits and the lone home run that he knocked out last night in garbage time to give the Brewers a 7-4 victory. And Manny Pena in the month of May just hitting .158. And in his last 7 days, he's 1 for his last 11, is Manny Pena. Not happy about that. But both of these guys have swung the bat well early. Manny Pena, average at .313. Jet Bandy at .298. Hard to complain with any of those. Some high, high averages out of Colorado Springs, so let's look down on the farm.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. We're no longer on the bottom floor of the rebuild, Milwaukee. So what's going on in the minors? Here's today's Down on the Farm report.
Look down on the farm. We'll go to Colorado Springs. Lewis Brinson, obviously the number one overall prospect in the Brewers system. He's hitting .333 early on. He's got 4 homers, 13 knocked in. But also, we got to look at the first baseman down at Colorado Springs, Garrett Cooper. People have talked a lot of, necessarily trash, but saying that the Brewers have not necessarily developed corner infielders in this rebuild. Garrett Cooper hitting .341 with 7 homers and 38 knocked in just 30 games of play.
That's pretty good.
If you're going to tell me that a guy's going to come up here, I'm not going to say that he's going to hit 40 runs batted in the first 6 weeks while he's up in the bigs. But give the guy a chance. And now he's being blocked by two guys that have swung the bat very, very well for the Brewers early on this year in Jesus Aguilar and Eric Thames, but also guys in the rest of that outfield down at Colorado Springs. All three of the starters weekly, or daily, I should say, in Colorado Springs, hitting above 300, Ryan Cordell at 327 and Brett Phillips at 303. Look down at the high A ball and the Carolina Mudcats, excuse me, a lot of talent down in that roster, and a roster that a lot of people believe might be the fruits of this rebuild. The one guy that I'm looking at and that we've self-proclaimed as the truth for this Brewers rebuild, Lucas Erceg, got to pick it up. In his last 20 games, hitting 141. Now, luckily, Jake Gatewood having a career year, he's riding a 21-game hitting streak down at Carolina, hitting 333 down at Carolina, and driven in over 25 runs. Along with the rest of that roster is just staggering. They got Corey Ray, Trent Clark, there's a host of former first-round picks for that team, along with Corbin Burnes, who might be one of my favorite guys in this. He's also been nominated last night to be a part of the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show, All 420 team.
Ooh.
So Tim Allen was really, really excited to be able to say Corbin Burnes is going to be a part of the All 420 team. So that's a look down on the farm as we get set for Brewers and Mets. Let's give you those lineups one more time for the Mets. Leading off and playing left field, Michael Conforto, followed by the shortstop as Drubal Cabrera. Jay Bruce hits third, bats in right field. Cleaning up and playing second base, Neil Walker, followed by TJ Rivera and the center fielder, Curtis Granderson. Lucas Duda plays first base and hits seventh. Kevin Plawecki catches and bats eighth, followed by Robert Gesellman. And for the crew, behind Zach Davies, leading off at second base, Jonathan Villar, followed by Eric Thames and Hernan Perez, hitting third and playing left as Ryan Braun hit the DL yesterday. Travis Shaw, third baseman, he cleans up, followed by Domingo Santana playing in right. The catcher, Jet Bandy, hits sixth. Keon Jedi Broxton in center field, he'll bat seventh, followed by Orlando Arcia, the shortstop, and rounding out the crew's lineup for manager Craig Counsell is Zach Davies. Zach Davies, 3-2 on the young season, trying to get himself his fourth win today, maybe lower that 5-6 mark. That would be nice. It'd be really nice to get Zach Davies maybe into the sixth inning, like Radio Joe Zanzola said earlier today on the roundtable. My thanks to Radio Joe Zanzola, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer for joining me, for Bart Winkler down at Miller Park, getting us Keon Broxton and manager Craig Counsell sound, and also the man hitting the buttons for me here today, Anthony Jerome Mandela. We'll talk to you after the game on the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show. This has been the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck show. I'm Bill Schmidt. Enjoy the game, everyone.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.